We're going to start today a series on family, and it's going to work out pretty cool because this is how God does things. We'll have the intro this week, and then next week we're going to speak to the men, and then the week after that we're going to speak to the wives, which happens to be Mother's Day. Go figure that God knows what he's doing when he's doing it. And then we're going to talk about children, and I'm going to be talking to the children, us as children of our parents, teens, you as young people, and then we're going to do at least 2 weeks on parenting, all right? Just what can help us all get through. As I've mulled over this, and as I've pastored for the last 5 years and then another year prior to that, I am overwhelmed and in awe of how many times our relationship with God, our relationship with the church, our relationship with one another, our how we see the way the Bible plays out, all of those things always come back directly to God. But they also come back in a marvelous way directly to the body, the bride, which is not, you know, to be taken as not symbolic. It's absolutely symbolic that the church is the bride of Christ. Not only that, but how much family-ing has to do with church-ing? How much being in a relationship with God has to do with being in a relationship with a spouse? How much how he treats us and loves us plays into how we are to love both one another and our children, okay? Next week, you're going to see how we worked through in our small group one night the lordship and the headship of God himself, and then how that plays out into, and I want you to hear me, the lordship and the headship of the man in the home, and how those are absolutely parallel. I'm going to take on a sticking point for some folks on Mother's Day, all right? And I wish Leslie were here because I think about her and her feistiness, and I love her to death, and she's now going to hear this, and that's fine because it's going public. So, but when we use the word submit or submission, we tend to cringe, do we not? Men are like, hey, guess what? We throw it out as we shouldn't, and women are like, I know it says submit, but that's not what it really means. Yes, it does. But the sermon on Mother's Day is going to be what submission doesn't mean. What submission doesn't mean. And I am going to affirm the scripture in what it says, women, we are to do. But I'm going to make sure that we all hear what it doesn't mean. So we're going to snag through the advantageous takers of the scripture. We're going to cut that off right there. Empowering women, all right, strengthening men, honoring our parents as children, and then we're going to take on some of the ways and the means and the methods that we go about parenting and why we need one another, and so on and so forth. But today, I'm telling you this for a reason. I'm not telling you this for excitement, even though it is exciting. I'm not telling you this because I need anything, because I don't. I'm telling you this because I have a fun piece of news that relates to what I'm about to do. Most of you know I've been making fun of myself, all right, because I'm ADD, and every time we talk about me getting anything done, it always rolls back to this book. Anybody heard me say that? There's a book I've been writing for, I've lost track of the number of years, all right, that I've been writing this book now, all right? I think I started working on it 6 years ago, maybe five, it may be seven, all right? Here's the really sad part. 9 points, chapters of it have been written for 3 years. I even got a ghostwriter to write it. The problem was, as much as I loved that guy, when I got it back, it didn't sound anything like me, all right? So it was worse to try to undo it than it was to try to do it. And then I added one thing from a sermon I preached here, and all this to say, healthy church has been talked about, it's been taught, it's been sent out to people, it's been done, and it's never been written. I signed a contract this week. It's going to get done. I signed a contract this week with a group of people who are going to take my voice, the messages that I send them. We've already been in constant contact. They are going to flip it by October, get it to me. I get to put the rest in, and it will be out hopefully by the middle of January. All right? And all taken care of, all publishing taken care of, all printing taken care of. It will come out ready to be on Kindle, Amazon, and Google. It's pretty exciting and also pretty scary, but it's done. And so I say that to say this. When I was on the phone with these people, they asked me lots of fun questions that I should have answered 5 years ago, like, why? What do you want this book to say? What do you want this book to make people feel? Talk to me about one or two of the chapters. What's your main point of the chapter? I don't have main points. I often don't have points at all. That is what you're for, okay? Take the words. May God bless them and use them, and you do what you do, and put them on paper or on paper white or on Kindle. Put them where you put them, all right? But the point was real. If you don't know where you're going and what you're doing and why you're doing it for, it doesn't have any point. And that's why we need to start here today. I can talk about what husbands are supposed to do. I can talk about what wives are supposed to do. But there needs to be a why. You don't just cuz. Parents, you don't just cuz. All right? You don't do it. The biggest question teenagers have starts in them when they're children. And that question is, why? And do you know what you're saying when you say, because I said? I don't know why, I just want you to. What if God ran things that way? What if God ran things that way? Do you know what we've done, though, through our church years? We've treated God as if he does. Well, God said it, so that's what it is, and I'm going to say it, and I'm going to pass it down to my kid, and they're going to pass it to their kid, and they're going to pass it to their kid, and if I don't like the way it sounds, I'm going to change it a little bit and pass it to my kid, and then they're going to pass it to their kid, and we've got a lot of things passed down that aren't what God said at all. So I want you to know why we're studying the family and what the focal point is before we get going. And we're going to go to Psalm 127 to get there, okay? Psalm 127. All of the Psalms are poems or songs, okay? And many, many, many of them were written by David, but not all of them. But one of them was written by David's son. Do you know who that is? Solomon. One of the Psalms, we always read Ecclesiastes and Proverbs and go, that's Solomon. But if I'm going to want wisdom about something, I'm going to ask Solomon. If I find a psalm that Solomon wrote, I'm going to key in on that psalm. The wisest man that ever lived, who tried and failed at many, many, many things, including marriage and family, all right? He tried that marriage thing 700 times and then had 300 on the side just in case he didn't get it right, all right? Now you're like, Craig, why are we looking at it? Listen. The wisest man that has ever lived has something to say. And I want us to listen. Nothing else that I say will matter unless this... Oh, it worked. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builder labors in vain. I'm going to say it again. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand in vain. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat. Listen, this is important. For he grants sleep to those he loves. Children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their opponents in the court. Just five verses, Solomon talks about the family. And when he does, he keys in on what we key in our own lives. Listen to me. If I said building something, men, That's what we do. We want to build. We want to go out, put it together, and go, look what I did, you know. Building, whether it be building a family, building a house, building a home, that's what we want. Security, women, you want someone who makes you feel what? Protected. You want someone who provides security for you. That is inside you. And it is what makes high school really, really difficult for people who are 4'11". Because no women think that you can be secure over them, all right? I was half the size of every guy there, three-quarters the size of every girl there. Any of them that were dating me were doing it to protect me, not to for me to protect them. Sorry, honey. Building security, all right? Building security, all right? And then he addresses something else. He addresses family. He addresses the passing along of what we are. He addresses longevity. He addresses the future. All of us have heard people who talk about, what have I done with my life? What have I left for this world? What have I passed on? He addresses what we pass on, and that is our knowledge, our love, our hope, our peace to our children. All right? So here's what we really want to talk about as far as why we're growing our families, all right? Number one, if you choose to go your own way, do your own thing, work this out how you feel led, you will fail. You will fail. There is not a successful family apart from the will of God. Well, Craig, there's all kinds of successful people out there. Listen to me. I know what the Word says, and the Word says if you don't build it on God, you build it in vain. Well, Craig, but we see that they have money. We see that their children are happy. We see that they have a big business. We see, but what you don't see is what they don't want you to see. What you don't see is what they're unwilling to talk about. What you don't see is the pain and the strife and the struggle that it causes when they lay their head on the pillow at night and do not sleep. Do not rest. There is no rest for the weary. It is hidden. Either you believe God or you do not believe God. And what God says here is if you try to build a house, if you try to build a home, if you try to build anything apart from God, you will fail. Jesus reiterates this fact when he says, a wise man builds his house, what? On the rock. Build as big a house, as fine a house, as happy a house as you want. In fact, you're probably going to spend some time eyeing the house on the beach. Until when the storm comes and the waves come, your house is still there and that house is gone. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord. Everything that we say from this point on must be understood that we are grabbing God's hand and asking, what should I do? What should I be? Where should I go? And how should I get there? Well, Craig, I still think that maybe, this whole in vain thing is overrated. No, we need to look at what that means. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guard stands watch in vain. What does it mean for something to be done in vain? All right? Let's look back at the scripture for some ideas, all right? Oh, listen when I say, what does it profit a man to gain what? The whole world or a fortune and lose what? His soul. Somebody told me a story one time that best fits this, all right? There was a man who was offered a challenge and that challenge, good man, nice man. Somebody wanted to give him something. And so the gentleman said, look, I have way more land than I need. Here's what I'll do. I'm going to give you as much land as you can walk around in one day, from the time the sun comes up to the time the sun sets. And so the man thanked him and said, let's go. When the sun came up the next day, he began to walk. And of course, he wanted to walk a square, all right? And so he started walking, and he got to the point where he was feeling pretty good, and he was thinking, this is pretty big. And he thought, you know what, I'm gonna go a little bit further. and it was early. And he walked a little bit further, and it wasn't even noon yet. And he walked a little bit further, and he's like, I can go further. And he walked a little bit further. And then he turned, and he started to walk the next direction. Now it's getting closer to dinner, and he's only halfway through. So he makes the turn to head all the way back down, and night is beginning to fall. And so he tries to pick up his pace, and he begins to try to run, and he's breathing very heavy. He makes the turn, and right as the sun goes over the horizon, he gets to the point where he started, and he fell down, and he died. The land was his, but he didn't get to enjoy it. That is laboring in vain. Listen to me. Just because you have doesn't mean you're enjoying, you love, or you're happy with what it is that you have. That is laboring in vain. Have you ever heard this phrase? I climbed the ladder only to figure out it was leaning against the wrong wall, the wrong tree, the wrong building. We can labor and we can toil in vain because we're climbing corporate ladders. We're climbing popularity ladders. Let me come to this side of the room. We're climbing popularity ladders. We're climbing our peers' affirmation ladders. We need to post on Instagram and Facebook a prettier picture, a more rewarding picture, a victory picture, something that makes us look like we are on par with or above our peer set. You keep chasing that ladder, guess what's going to happen? You're going to be on a hamster wheel, because in life, your peer set is going to change over and over and over again, and you're going to have another group of people. You're going to have another group of people. You're going to have another group of people. You're going to have another set of standards. You're going to have another set of ideas, and you're going to have to live up to these things, and you will labor in vain, no matter how victorious you are at getting the job done or chameleoning yourself to the people that you are around. We labor in vain when we don't build on a firm foundation. We labor in vain when we reach the top of the ladder and figure out that we were chasing the wrong thing. We labor in vain when we try to get something done and we do it all only to find we've lost everything. We don't get to enjoy it. Listen, we labor in vain when it is all for us. And Jesus told a story about a man who had an abundant crop. And he had so many crops. And the people thought, well, surely he'll pass his crops out to all of us. And he said, no, go tear down those barns and build bigger barns. And Jesus said, you, listen to me. He uses a word. The Greek word in the story is euaphron. Aphron. I've taught this at least twice before. The negative, phronai, the inner soul, the inner spirit, the heart of man. You are heartless. You are without a soul. You can build all of your armies, but unless God is watching over it, it is what? In vain. I think it's interesting that Solomon was playing with us too. When he talks about the Lord building the house, and down here when it says children are a heritage, it's actually the word sons. That is not discarding children. He's talking about offspring, but the word is sons. And he picks that word for a reason. He picks it because in the Hebrew alphabet, there is one letter difference in building a house and building your sons. He wants it to sound the same. It's poetic. He wants to say, as you build your home, as you build your sons, as you build anything, they are similar. They all have to point back to me. Interesting. And he also, and I love that I was able to say this in the introduction, we work, you know, can I just ask you all a real honest question? just tell me if the two things I'm about to mention are absolutely exhausting. Number one, trying to keep up with the Joneses. And number two, trying to hide the sin in your life. Can I get a witness? Is wearing a mask, whether it be in church, in school, as a parent, is wearing a mask just absolutely exhausting because who God's made you to be so wants to get out? And, you know, have you ever, I probably shouldn't do this, but I'm going to, is anybody ever in here, and some of you do, and I love you for it, and I'm not saying it's right, but I love you for it. Anybody ever in here just wanted to swear really, really loud? Sometimes you just want to let it out. Isn't it exhausting to try to hold all that in? Or it's even more exhausting to go, boogers. I feel so helpless when I try a grandma, no offense, a grandma word for the words I'd like to say. Sugar free it. Why is it, does anybody feel me? Why is it that it doesn't feel the same when it comes out? You hit that thumb and you're like, beans. Do you understand the feeling that I'm talking about? Wouldn't it be exhausting to live your entire life that way? Completely fake, completely holding something in, completely trying to be something that you're not, when it's trying to rise up out of you on every occasion? Then here's my call. Stop faking it. Well, Craig, do you just want me to swear? If swearing's what's inside you, listen to me, absolutely. Listen to me, before you all get mad and say, wait, did you just tell my teenagers it was okay? Listen to me. I'm talking about everything, not just swearing. If that's what's inside of you, then from out of the heart, what? The mouth speaks. So yes, because then at least I'll know what the fruit is and that the change that church should have on you has not yet taken place. Come on. I don't want a room full of people sitting out here faking that they love and believe in Jesus and going into this pool where we're looking, where we've dunked two adults, two children, and we've got at least four or five kids waiting to jump in, looking out at a group of adults who are like, yes, I did that, and as long as nobody knows what's really going on inside of me, we're all good. No, no, no. If it's, I got to be careful. It's about to hit the fan. If you are holding in fake, then where's the transformation that Jesus talks about all through the Scripture? Do not be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. Do you see the then? Those of us faking it, trying to test and approve God's will while we haven't let God change our hearts, are doing this, that, faking and have no way of attesting or approving. It's why our churches are dying. It's why I wrote Healthy Church. And I need to find that passion again. And I need you to find it. So if what's welling up inside of you is garbage, let's get it out. Let's let Jesus take it away. Do you think that once you got in the pool that he ran out of his sin-forgiving opportunities? That he delivered and that's the end of the delivery? Do you have to, Amber, do you have to get on Amazon and order everything you want for your whole life in one fell swoop? Thank goodness, no. Did y'all see that that April Fool's Day gag where the girl had saved all of her Amazon boxes from like a year and sat them all out on her front porch so her husband came home and found like a 700-box Amazon. I thought about you. Paul would have been like, rolling with it. I know the foundation. Hey, Paul may have said the best thing that I could say in this sermon just now. It's another day. I know what I'm going to get. I know what I signed up for. Listen to me. Do you know what you signed up for? Do you need God to be the God you need him to be on the day you need him to be it for the time you need him to be it? Or do you need to be who he created you to be because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever? So yeah, I think I am suggesting that it hit the fan a little bit. I'm suggesting that you stop faking it. And I'm suggesting, scripturally, that you'll sleep a lot better. What do you mean, Craig? This stuff that I am comes out of me and I'm going to sleep better? You will if the village does what the village is supposed to do. If your pastor, your small group leader, your friends, the people you're doing life with look at you and say, yeah, me too. Instead of, ew, not you. That's what the church has been doing for years, and I'm tired. That's what our children have been watching for years, and I'm tired. That's the excuses our husbands and fathers have been making, and I'm tired. That's the excuses our wives have been making, and I'm tired. We don't want to submit because we got to empower women. It's me too time. We don't want to be exhausted because I married somebody who's supposed to do that stuff for me. Y'all got another thing coming. You might as well not show up for the next 2 weeks if you believe those two things. You need to stay home. What? Everybody thought I was going to imply some kind of swear word in between. It would have made it more powerful, though, wouldn't it? And half the people would have shut my podcast off. Sometimes you just do the right thing because it's the right thing to do. I want to talk about this rest thing because God talks about it. He grants sleep to those he loves. There's a different translation for this, okay? A couple of the Bibles imply that God grants to those he loves while they sleep. And some say God grants sleep to those he loves. So which is it? Because one implies that you get rest. The other implies that you get things that you need while resting. Which is it? Both. I'm not going to take a side here because the Hebrew could be translated either way accurately. That's the truth. You could translate it either way accurately. All right? But the context here is that God can provide, can be there for you, listen, while you work or whether you are working or not. He wants your help. He doesn't need your help. You get that? He wants you to do the right thing. It doesn't change him at all if you don't. He is no less God, no matter your response to him. That's what I find so funny about atheists. I don't believe in you. You who? I don't believe in God. Which God is it that you speak of? The God of creation. Oh, yeah? And because I don't believe that water is wet, does that mean when I step out of the shower, I'm automatically dry? No. Call it whatever you want. But there is also the implication here that toiling in vain is exhausting. And those who toil in vain never really find rest because they're always trying to get to the next thing. And here's what God says. He says, stop it. He addresses something here that we're all in some manner dealing with, some way more than others, and that is worry. We have defined it more in depth now as anxiety. We as students feel the pressure to live up to an expectation, to live up to a set of grades, to live up to our peers, to husbands, to live up to some certain salary range, to live up to some living standard of our spouse, to live up to being able to provide for our children, to live up to be able to provide for our spouses. We are always and constantly surrounded by and pounded on by expectations that we cannot alone live up to, and trying to live up to them without God is impossible. Some people are more successful than others, but at the end of the day, we go to sleep and we're already planning and worrying and working in our minds for what is next, for what bill, for what test, for what person I have to please. And God says, you only have to please one. And I made you. And I like you for all of your nastiness. And if you would just get that, you sleep good. If you just get that, you'd sleep real good. There's not a star in the sky, not a bird in the air, although there may be 100 in our chimney. Somebody brought me a video in today of literally flocks of birds going and flying down our chimney. I was like, what? He grants sleep to those he loves. Listen to me. He grants sleep to those he loves. Question, does he love you? Then why don't you sleep? Are God not giving or are you not getting? And a question that I have for you. Children are a heritage from the Lord, and offspring a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they attend to their opponents. Here's the thing. Ron Hutchcraft wrote a book called A Battle for a Generation. And it had a singular point. We don't have a choice as to whether or not we win the war. Listen to me. We have to win every battle. Because the minute we, as believers, lose one generation, we've lost the rest. That was his point. The minute we lose our children, what are they teaching our children's children? What? One generation is all we can lose. And listen to me. The grip is slipping. And church, we have got to get more real. We've got to get more focused. And we've got to get more open to receive the love, the power, the grace, the mercy, and the instruction of God so that we pass on the love, the power, the grace, and the instruction of God to our children. And there lies the point of the next few weeks. How do we build a family foundation deeply rooted in Christ, totally connected to one another, and totally grasping an understanding of what His Word teaches us to be in each role that He's given us in our lives? How does Nicole be a better wife? How does Amber be a better mother? How does Nate be a better son? how do we be stronger families together? Men, women, children, parents. That's the next few weeks. Let's pray. God, I don't know if anybody else needs to do this, but I need to openly admit that I am totally overwhelmed at times with my shortcomings as a dad. I want to date my children, but I know that I've got to make time. And I have some, but I have not enough. I want to be full of the love and grace that you have for me, for my children. And I have some, but I still lose my temper. Frustration grows so easily in me over small things. God, I want so deeply to be so full of grace, but so full of wisdom that I can handle what you throw my way. I don't know what the cries and the petitions of the people in this room are, God, but I pray right now that you hear them, that they begin to work through their hearts, their failures, their shortcomings as spouses, their failures, their shortcomings as teens, their failures and their shortcomings as parents, and you begin to whisper in their ears, I've never left. I've never not known how to handle it. And I'll always be there if you'll listen. Help us build firm foundations for families together. In Jesus' name and amen.